It's the master of the execution and the king of pal. It's yours truly, Chris Licks, and you're listening to Overseas Podcast.
It is episode 41, and we are talking about all things professional wrestling and talking to the Irish Dragon, Scott Fury. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
I'm Mike.
And we are here to talk a lot of professional wrestling.
Finally.
A lot. I knew you'd like that lot more, man. We've got a lot to talk about. New Lucha Underground episodes are starting to come out. We got MEW I want to talk about. Let's open up on a little somber note. For those long-term fans of professional wrestling here in Memphis, in 1959, Memphis wrestling started, I believe it was on Channel 13 here in Memphis, and it was hosted by a man named Big Jack Eaton. Big Jack Eaton passed away today.
Yeah, Big Jack was like, he was the sportscaster for the football games.
Yep, and basketball.
And the basketball games. I mean, name it, he broadcasted it over the years locally. And,
the very first time Memphis wrestling, you know, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And Memphis wrestling, you know, through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and the early 90s, some of the hottest wrestling. You see, we talk about it every week. 4,000, 5,000, 6,000.
Yeah.
Hell, I think there's been 12,000 to 13,000 people in the Mid-South Coliseum, and it all started with Big Jack Eaton on TV. So
yeah,
our prayers and thoughts are with the Eaton family. You know, thank you, Big Jack, for everything you've done for this city.
I have him in my head constantly doing sportscasts on Channel 5, probably when I was about 3, 4, 5 years old, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was still doing the sports broadcasts and everything, and he'd do the Great Caesar's Ghost.
Yeah,
And all that stuff, you know. I got a kick out of watching him as a kid.
Yeah,
you know, because he made the sportscast interesting. So
yeah, well, our prayers go out and thoughts go out to the Eaton family. Mm-hmm. Mike got to go to his first Marvel Elite Wrestling show Friday with
me.
This
is his first independent show.
Well,
period.
He went to Wildfire.
You went to Wildfire before. That's right.
Yeah,
you went.
That's right.
Me and you went to Wildfire.
So it's his second.
Independent show.
But, you know, I love MEW wrestling. That's where I like to be every other Friday night. Great card again.
Mm-hmm.
I got my notes here. I
was about
notes
to say, you need to bring those up.
Let's see. Notes. Of course, I didn't take notes on the whole card, so a lot of it. the show opened up. CA brought in Duke Warfield. Duke is a Navy guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thanking him for his service, and he was cutting a little promo. Well, out comes Tattoo,
mm-hmm.
interrupting his promo and talking some major trash. And Tattoo's starting to really get into this heel character that he has.
Yeah.
And he's starting really to buy into it, and he's getting a little aggravating and annoying, which is exactly what he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Some notes I had on the match. Tattoo gave Duke a chest slap.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Mike felt our chairs vibrate when he did it.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those, you know, how like a loud noise happens close to you, you just immediately blink.
You feel the reverberation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We felt that from about 15 feet away.
Yeah.
And wouldn't expect that from Tattoo.
Yeah.
But
it was a hell of a
chest
slap.
We cringed. We hugged each other. There was tears. I felt bad for Duke.
It's an emotional moment.
Yeah, for sure.
A couple of months ago, Diamond Inc. lost to Full Deck,
yeah,
and they were forced to break up. Well, I don't think Tattoo was happy about that, and he attacked Reno shortly after that.
Mm-hmm.
Reno came back,
mm-hmm.
and beat the ever-loving hell out of Tattoo.
I think I saw a mm-hmm. clip of that.
Yeah, it was a great beatdown. The crowd was into it. They're throwing up diamond signs. Me and Mike were into it, throwing up the diamond.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the phrase. It was a great beatdown.
It was a great beatdown. It was.
It was very satisfying.
Duke
it was
lost
awesome violence
on a roll up, and Tattoo had a handful of tights. This is the second week he's lost due to unfair advantages, and it makes Duke look so strong because he can't be beaten clean.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he cut a promo. It was a good, solid promo. You know, he's still got work to do on the mic, but I thought he did great. Next match, Addison Cade comes out.
This big dude.
Yeah, he is a big mamma jamma. And he comes out and he cuts a promo on how we're there to see him. We're not. You know, it's just that pompous heel stuff. And he goes around, he starts, you know, jawing at people ringside. He asks for any challenger. Well, then there's this guy sitting a couple of rows in front of me and Mike. And he looks at him and he says, "What's your problem?" Guy's just sitting there. Addison knocks his hat off his head.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what the hell's going on here? Well,
dude stands up. I mean, he's a pretty ripped guy.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Yeah. Big dude. And Addison's like, you know, the security lady is trying to hold Addison back from him. He's like trying to give him his hat back, and he throws it on the ground. And when dude goes to pick him up, Addison starts beating on him.
Mm-hmm.
Throws him into the ring, kicks him a bunch of times, splashes him in the ropes, goes for a splash one final time, and he gets rolled up from the schoolboy for the pin.
Oh.
And lost. Yeah. And he says he's trying to get out of this losing stump that he's in, and it didn't happen this night. Mm-hmm. He lost to some random dude in the crowd.
So wait,
he was
so wait. Okay, no, go on with the card. I can't. No, I'm going to start bashing, and I don't want to do that.
But something I remember about this, when Addison was getting, you know, the crowd riled up, the one guy that was over in the corner seat, you know, close to us. He started talking trash to that guy, and that guy stood up. And before this guy stood up, his son, who was probably like 10, 12 years old, jumped up from behind him and was going to beat Addison Cade's ass. Mm-hmm. And then at one point, I don't know if you saw it, the kid jumped up with a chair like he was going to hit him with the chair.
Hey, that kid would need that chair to whoop on Addison Cade.
Absolutely.
Next match, I believe that was Del Tucker and Damone Salavino.
Yeah, I believe so.
And those two guys, man, are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Damone is great in the ring. You see it in its training. Oh, that's a nod to you.
Yep.
And Dell is just Dell. Talked a lot of shit to me during the match.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
At one point, he had Dell pinned down by his shoulders, and he looked up and he said, "This is for you in the hat." And I was the only one in the crowd with a hat on, and he started punching Damone Salavino in the head. And Damone actually got the win.
Oh, nice.
So now that the Lucha Libre event, they're doing the 21st for MEW.
Mm-hmm.
Del Tuck will be defending the MEW television title against Damone Salavino.
Then I am a Del Tucker guy.
I wanted to get your thoughts.
I'm a Del Tucker guy.
What about him did you like?
Basically everything. I loved how he got heat. There are certain things that he said to people in the crowd that I'm not going to repeat.
No. Yeah. Repeat it. There was a little kid, and I don't know if he said this because it's true or if he said it just to get heat.
Uh-huh.
He told a kid, "I'm going to smack you so hard your eyes will go straight."
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I just I looked at Mike like, I really hope that kid isn't cross-eyed, man.
he had a wandering eye.
Oh, no.
So, I mean, it was a true poke.
Good Lord.
But and he told another kid that he would beat his ass. I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the favorite parts during his match, though, was when I think he was just in just a basic, you know, headlock or something, you know, neck crank, something like that. And somebody's like, tap out. And he just looked straight at him and said, "No, the match just started."
Mm-hmm.
Dell is just an awesome wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Great on the mic, great at getting heat. And he's all three phases. He's great in.
He doesn't care what he says in order to get heat.
No. I mean, no, he doesn't.
He doesn't care.
And that goes to the, you know, that goes to the inspirations that he has in the wrestling business, like people like Tommy End, who, you know, is a great heat magnet.
Mm-hmm.
See, who else we had? Full Deck come to the ring, cut a promo on how they weren't going to leave the ring till DNA comes out there. And
that took a while.
Yeah. I think it was Big Ace was cutting a promo, and it was an awesome promo about how they were going to fight for everything they had. And I thought I saw tears running down his eyes because it was such a passionate promo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these two guys, they're a draw at MEW. Did you sense that at all?
No, I didn't notice that much. I mean, yeah, I mean, there was a lot of passion in it,
but did you
see tears, waterworks, or anything?
Do you get why they're a draw? Do you see it? Do you just get that vibe from them? Because that's how
a little bit.
When they come out to the ring for their matches, man, they got these black shirts on. They got their black pants, their black wrist tape, and they just look like they're ready to come out and whoop some ass.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such, I don't know what it is, but that tag team is such a draw for MEW. Did we have any other matches next after before the main event?
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, so in main event was DNA, Derek King and Alan Steele coming out to Simply the Best.
Mm-hmm.
To against the 201 boys, Frank Crime and Chris Lex.
I was about to say, if you missed his name.
Chris Lex would have punched me the next time if I forgot it.
That's your boy, dude.
And DNA, man, they are heat magnets as well. Derek King, like, you know, while he's not in the ring, mm-hmm. if he's outside waiting for a tag or something,
yeah.
he just keeps the crowd going.
Yeah.
They just get it.
Mm-hmm.
If there was, and I'm not saying they're just as good as these guys, but if there's a tag team I could relate them to, I would say they're the Midnight Express.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount, the way they get.
They got to be so happy for Alan and Derek both right now, because they got to be having fun tagging with one another.
Oh, yeah, dude. They're having a blast, yeah. man. And a couple of highlights from the match. You know, they got Alan Steele, or not Chris Lex's wife involved last week, and they made her kiss Derek King's boots.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Steele got thrown out to the ring by her, and she smashed a cupcake in his face.
Nah.
Orange icing was all over him for the rest of the match.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Like, I think it got in a nostril and in the ear. So, luckily, he carries that towel around, and he was able to get that off. Chris Lex, as always, is just a crowd favorite.
Yeah.
That guy is just so over with the crowd.
It seemed like he was the only reason the crowd was there.
A lot of it, and that's a lot of yeah. it is. That's their local. I mean, a lot of them are kids out there that live in Fraser,
mm-hmm.
and that's just their hometown hero.
Yeah.
And he, you know what? He buys into it. You know, the people love sitting up. People just love to chant, is mm-hmm. what I realized. And yeah. it's, the pal chant gives him so much,
mm-hmm.
so many chances to pop.
Yeah.
I can't remember the finish, though. I stopped taking notes at that point because I was starting to get into the show a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think, did DNA win?
I'm pretty sure.
No, I think it was a no contest because didn't Full Deck come out?
They came out.
Or Frank Crime took the pin, something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they won, but I think DNA, Full Deck.
Yeah, right? Full Deck.
I think they came out after. And
brought out some chairs. There was no yeah. fight, but they were ready to.
Because they when they came out, he just threw the chair into the ring, and it almost went over the ring, and
yeah,
Alan had to catch it.
Thank God Alan caught it, because that man knocked that cross-eyed kid's eye straight. God, I'm
Dell would have came out cheering.
That's going to get me in trouble.
You're going to hell now.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I'll let you in. I've got reserved parking.
Okay, great. Great. That was MEW. They got a show going on this Friday out at out in South Haven that I'm going to try to go check out.
SGWA.
Got the card right here. Special Enforcer for the Night. Have you seen this card at all?
No.
Special Enforcer for the Night, Downtown Bruno.
Hey.
Nice.
They're doing a 15-man Royal Rumble or Rumble for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was vacated by a wrestler. They're doing a match where the winner enters the Rumble at the last spot. The loser enters at number one. All that Alan Steele versus Leo Friendly. A Texas bull rope match, Midnight Rider with Justin Case versus the Samoan Raja. Bad Brad versus AJ Raven. The Sure Things with Smooth versus DJ and Key Awesome. Return match, winner goes to the Rumble. Superstar Bill Dundee versus Van Horn with Justin Case.
Van Horn.
And then the main event will be the 15-man Royal Rumble. Or I keep saying Royal Rumble because that's just how you...
Yeah.
When you see Rumble and wrestling...
Of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think I'm going to go out there and check out the show. It's run by... I want to say Randy Hales is involved with it.
Randy Hales and Dundee.
Yeah. Okay. And Cross
yeah.
runs it too. So go out there and check it out, folks. That's going to be...
Where is it?
Yeah. South Haven, Mississippi, Faith Community Center, 7340 Greenbrook Parkway. February 5th, bell time is at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are $10 per person. Kids 12 and under, $5.
Mm-hmm. We also want to start plugging the Minglewood Hall show for Wildfire.
Yes, yes.
Because that's coming up on February 28th as well.
And I'm not going to miss this Wildfire show.
Yeah, right. At Minglewood Hall, you know, you guys are going tomorrow for NXT.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
he's excited.
I cannot wait for NXT. But yeah, Wildfire is going down to Minglewood Hall down there in Midtown.
Yeah, it's like one of the best small venues in this area.
Right.
Well, probably within 200 miles of this area.
Right.
I mean, yeah, to get NXT in there, that tells you something about
right.
the arena.
Cause yeah, yeah.
NXT wants something small. They want something, you know, more, what's the word?
Nice.
Well, nice. Not nice, but passionate. It'll be a smaller, passionate crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be people
It'll
who
be
just...
intimate.
Intimate. There we go. More intimate
there
crowd.
There you go.
And I'm really excited.
Kind of shades of Full Sail University a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
having a closed in
oh,
a little bit
I'm
more.
I'm just hoping that, like, Bayley is going to be here. I hope. I hope to see Finn Balor and Joe. And there's so many stars I hope I get to see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's probably going to be a little hour, maybe hour and a half show, maybe hopefully 2 hours. But, man, I'm going to be in attendance. If you listen to the podcast and you see me, say hi. You mm-hmm. know, I feel like I'm an approachable guy. I got to meet Raul that was
yeah.
in our chat room last
yeah,
week
yeah.
and talked to him. And his wife said we're extremely funny. And mm-hmm. I said, well, we don't try to be. We just talk wrestling.
Yeah.
I guess we just are funny by default.
Yeah. But not the Wildfire show, it's February 28th is when it's coming up.
Yep.
So
I think I saw Rashad put up something about that.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another great showcase of Memphis wrestling. You'll probably see, if I had to guess, Derek King will be there. Lawler's always attached to most Wildfire shows.
Yeah. Alan Steele,
Brian Christopher.
Yeah, I think I saw the poster.
Antonio Garza will probably be here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than likely.
R&D is going to be there.
Oh. This is going to be shaping up. Hopefully he'll get Lex involved. Just any chance to see Chris Lex? Nothing, huh? Nothing.
Let me
on
see.
That.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to look. I'm sorry. I'm trying to look up Wildfire on the.
Wildfire would be like probably the WWE of this area, right? I mean, anything that has Lawler attached to it, to steal a quote from my buddy Josh McClain over at KO Radio.
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest of the shows. They don't run it that often, but when
it's,
they do.
It's run about once a month.
Yeah.
You know, if not once a month, once every 2 months.
Yeah. Like they had the Lucha Libre event, what, in January or is that in December?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got this one coming up in February. I mean, it's going to be a good show. Wildfire always is. MEW always is. Local wrestling shows, if you can get out there and go see them, go see them. Usually
yeah.
it's $5-$10 a person.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see great wrestling. I mean, these folks are passionate about what they do.
This one's $20.
$20?
Yeah.
Okay. Still not bad.
Yeah. I'm seeing, let me see here. I'm seeing Precious, Brian Christopher,
I mean,
Dazzler, Josh Crow, R&D, Bloody Mary, and Redrick Redrum. Antonio Garza, and I think that's Maverick in the background as well.
Yeah.
Maverick, dude.
Maverick's freaking huge.
Woo!
He's massive.
He's a big old boy.
Big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah,
and I got
the
I
first
got a
time
chance.
I saw him wrestle, it was actually at a Grizzlies game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he wrestled Lawler up above like the main entrance to the main bowl of the arena.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when we went to the thing at the Coliseum, that was my first time seeing Maverick. I'm like, this dude is holy crap.
He was on he was on American Gladiator.
Was that the Hulk Hogan?
Maverick. No, I don't think that was the Hulk Hogan version. It was the version before that one.
Really?
But
because that was like 20-something years ago.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that long ago.
I cannot remember the last time, like, but pre-Hulk Hogan American Gladiators.
I don't know. He may have very well could have been on that version, but I'm pretty sure he was on the version before that
one. He doesn't seem old enough
well.
To have, he seems like he should be my age and... At my age, if he was that big, maybe at 18, they're like, hey, man, you want to do American Gladiators?
At that size, are you shitting me? I mean, come on.
But it's going to be a good show. Get out there, support local wrestling. Go out and have some, you know, go out there, buy a couple of shirts, buy tickets to get in the event and all that stuff, and mm-hmm. support local wrestling. Let's make it big again.
Your local wrestlers, support. You know, local wrestling, support independent wrestling, period, because
right.
that's the only way these guys make it up the ladder.
That's right.
You know?
That's
yep.
exactly
your
right.
Your dollar decides who's popular.
That's right. You know,
so.
Jerry Lawler would have not made it to where he was in the WWE mm-hmm. without, you know, being a...
Without those 10,000 people showing up nightly at the
right.
at the Coliseum in Memphis here. So.
Let's go to talk a little bit about Raw this week. It was an all right show. You know, it's interesting to see where they're going to put people... coming up for like WrestleMania and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, because You're like, what do you do with AJ Styles right now?
You kind of use him as a feature. You're kind of just featuring him. I doubt he'll have a WrestleMania match this year.
If he does, there's no way he does not.
If he does, it would probably be in a multiple person match.
A ladder match.
Because I'm thinking they're probably going to throw something into the mix, like a ladder match for the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title or something that. You know,
I see him getting. If they do anything, I see him. He has to be involved with some sort of match. I think with Kevin Owens. Like maybe a ladder match for the IC belt with him, mm-hmm. Owens, Ambrose, Jericho.
Yeah.
R-Truth, finally get him in the ladder match he wants. you know, something like that.
R-Truth is just going to come in and throw people over the top rope.
I love the little videos that him and Goldust are doing right
Lordy.
Now. That just blows me away, you know. And I've actually talked to I threw some questions and stuff at Goldust sometimes, and sometimes he'll answer and everything. He's a pretty cool guy, but I'm also friends with him on Facebook. He's Dustin Runnels on Facebook.
Right.
And, you know, he's constantly blocking people and everything on time, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm one of the ones he's kept.
Well, just if you don't say anything stupid to him.
Yeah,
I mean,
if you don't say something stupid as hell, you know. But my comment to him was that I loved him and Barry Windham as a tag team,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the WCW days when he was Dustin Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so I thought that was the coolest thing, was like two of the tallest guys, you know, teaming up, you know, and they were wiry suckers, you know. They taking on all kinds of tag teams and everything, doing all kinds of big, you know, tag team maneuvers off the top rope and everything. So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just liked him as a tag team. But I think the whole R-Truth Goldust thing is hilarious.
Yeah, they're going to end up being a tag team. The
Golden Truth.
It's going to happen. It's going to be – and it's just – it's going to make for some of those TV moments like Booker T.
Like when it was Booker T and Goldust.
T and Goldust.
What did he say? What did Goldust say? Or was it R-Truth that said, you got your foot in doo-doo?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
It's just.
And they brought up Little Jimmy.
that cut deep.
That cut deep. That cut to the white meat.
I really wish R-Truth would just go back to that completely insane side of his character, because that was some funny television.
Oh yeah,
he's getting there.
Yeah. New Day looking still as great as can be.
Oh yeah.
Did you see Big E and Matt Hardy had a little?
Oh yeah, I did.
Quarrel
see
on
that.
Twitter
yes,
today.
Yes.
And that was funny. But you know what? It seems like they actually. No one was trying to insult the other anyway.
No,
nah,
it was
being,
just little jabs.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
little
yeah.
Playing jabs and stuff. You know.
But I love New Day, man. They're entertaining, and I'm glad they're not. Also glad they're not getting overexposure now, because it seemed like for a week there, WWE knew what the hottest thing was, and like every other segment was New Day. And you got to be careful when you do that, because people will start getting annoyed of them quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But like they did this past
they'll
week,
get Roman Reignsed.
That's right. That's exactly right. But you know, this week I thought it was a good solid match between them. The
but
show
see,
was all
like,
right.
What makes New Day so great though is they're so organic. You know, I mean, when they first came out, the gimmick was a fail.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Fail. It was a fail out of the chute. You know, and you could tell that they knew it was. But after tweaking a few things, adding in the trombone, adding in the excessive talking, you know, and just over exaggeration of
yourself.
Everything.
That's what
and be yourself and everything. And you know, you can see the personality. I never thought I'd see that much personality out of Kofi Kingston.
Yeah me neither.
Never thought I'd see that much personality out of him. But now he's got this whole different personality from when he first arrived, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's absolutely great. Xavier Woods. Follow, you know, Creed, whatever you want to call it.
Austin Creed.
Austin Creed, whatever you want to call it. Xavier Woods, he's awesome.
He's
one
of the best people on the mic
now
in the business.
He's absolutely great, you know. And I got caught up on Breaking Ground over the last couple of days because there wasn't nothing on TV I wanted to watch, so I just kept watching Breaking Ground, and I got completely caught up with the series. They put everything on but the series finale on the on-demand side. It didn't make any sense.
Huh.
Yeah. How else are you supposed to watch it?
I know. But anyway, you know, and in that, you know, at the first of Breaking Ground, they're kind of like, you know, what do we do with Xavier, man? And he's changing gimmicks like every show almost,
right.
You know? And they were kind of making the comments that, you know, he doesn't even really know who he is right now because he's changing everything every 5 seconds, you know? But he's found that niche, He's in him and Big E and, you know, Kofi are all, you know, getting it together and got all their ducks in a row. And I think, you know, they got a career. They're going to make a career out of that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no problem. And Big E's just freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
He is absolute internet gold anytime he tweets anything.
Right. Sasha Banks is getting away from the Team Bad thing, which I love.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks does not need to be held back by anybody.
Yeah, they filmed a segment for SmackDown last week, but they didn't use it on TV. And then they kind of waited till Raw to break them up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad the Team Bad, and it's nothing against Naomi and Tamina. I'm not, because, you know, there's a chance she's listening. And then if I ever meet her, I don't want her to scare me like she scares you. But, you know, there's
all
it's
it'll take is
them,
you shaking her hand, and then you'll understand, man.
it's nothing against those two at all. But Sasha Banks is just on another level as a worker. She cut a great promo. And she's right. She is probably one of the best wrestlers in the WWE last night. And
oh, yeah.
One of the best wrestlers in the WWE. I'm not just saying in the women's division. She can wrestle. And what happened? She was in a match with Brie Bella, and Team Bad came out and interrupted the match, and Becky Lynch came out and made the save, right? And it ended in with Becky Lynch and George in the chat room, hashtag free Sasha, hashtag cage Brie.
Cage Brie. Cage Brie, free Sasha.
But what else? Any other big news happened on Raw? I don't know.
No, it started with
Brock
and Heyman.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. Brock, and were they involved in the main event? Did Brock come out? And
yeah. I mean, I liked how, you know, they were doing the typical, you know, Paul Heyman selling the match for the pay-per-view and all, you know, the Beast Incarnate and all that. But I like how Ambrose came out. And he's like, you know, just to see what the fuss is about.
Yeah, and that helped build Ambrose up a lot for this match.
Because everybody's, you know, immediately discarding him from the match. I mean,
right.
You know he's not the one that's going to win.
Crazy swerve would be have him win, but we know it's not going to happen. It's probably going to be Roman Reigns winning and facing Triple H at WrestleMania.
Well, how crazy would it be that Ambrose went over, but somewhere between Fastlane and
I still think they're going to set up something.
WrestleMania.
Something big with Ambrose and AJ. And so I'm thinking AJ's fighting for that Intercontinental strap. They're not going to put it. They're not. Kalisto is going to probably defend his U.S. title probably against Del Rio. They'll probably keep that feud or something going. I don't see him getting involved with facing Kalisto because they kind of want Kalisto to be built up as well and putting him against AJ Styles.
Yeah, they're not
going to
put two faces.
Well, Dean Ambrose is a face, but if they put him in a multi-man match, they're slowly doing a feud between Ambrose and Jericho. Like Jericho hasn't forgotten about the loss yet. And he cut a good promo on it. I think maybe at Fastlane you may see AJ and Jericho again. Could see AJ and Miz is on SmackDown tomorrow night, which that's probably going to be, from the spoilers I read, it's actually going to be a really good match. You know, AJ had that awesome match with Jericho last week. And I loved how they what they did with the Miz TV.
Yeah.
He wouldn't let AJ talk, which is like the best way to get heat on yourself and get, you know, people behind AJ, which not that it took a lot to get people behind AJ.
Yeah.
Anything else y'all want to talk about from Raw?
Apparently it was, now that I'm going back reading it, it was Brie versus Charlotte. And then apparently it was Sasha versus Becky Lynch, and then at the end of that match,
that's when Team Bad came out, and then
Becky ended up helping.
And I thought they were having a great wrestling match.
Yeah,
Becky and Sasha. I thought Becky can throw a mean arm drag. I mean, that arm drag looks good when she throws it.
Oh yeah,
not Ricky Steamboat level because nothing will ever be level. But she's throwing some good arm drags and saw some good chain wrestling and. Let's see. George in the chat room says, "But did that opening segment make Reigns look bad?" I don't think so. I think they're just trying to build up so you don't get as much of what we think is going to happen. Ambrose's connection with the crowd is undeniable. People love Ambrose.
I think they were being cautious and not, you know, forcing us, you know, more Reigns.
Yeah.
To open the show again.
Yeah. And that's always a good, and I don't mean this in a bad way. It's always a good thing just because it's something different.
Yeah.
There's something
you want something different? Open the show with a match.
Yeah. Well, I get why they do those long promos. It's to set
no
up the
one
rest of the show.
Will ever expect it.
Well, I get why they do it. They open up. They got to set up the rest of the night.
Well, here's my thing. At an indie show, I understand why it happens, because they want to factor in that somebody is coming to see the show that's never seen the show before, and they don't understand what's going on.
Right.
At the indie level, it makes sense to sometimes go out, cut a 5, 10, 20-minute promo and everything. WWE, everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching. You don't have to explain it to me every week. You know? And, I mean, that's kind of like, and I put this in my fan council surveys that I get, you know?
Right.
Every chance I get when they ask me the questions about, you know, what would you rather see? You know, and I literally type in, start the show with a damn match. We get it. You're an entertainment company. You're not a wrestling company, okay? Yeah. But for God's sakes, you come out and talk for the first half hour of the show, where the fuck's the wrestling?
Yeah.
You know? And I can understand at this point, even if they claim to be half wrestling, half entertainment. Okay, 50-50. Split it up. But every once in a while, change some shit up.
Yeah.
Something, you know? I've thought about that, though, because it's 3 hours, maybe that's just their best formula for filling time.
I guess so.
It's like, okay, well, we know we can knock out 15 minutes at the beginning of the show, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, still, you know, you could have – can you imagine if AJ and Jericho had opened the show?
Yep.
An unannounced match. How ape shit pop that they would have gotten from the crowd, the organic pop that they would have gotten, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If they'd have just had AJ come out. They got a ref in the ring.
But
and
also,
then the next music that hits is Chris Jericho. And it's like, where's this exclusive match? And my God. No. They would have gotten such an organic pop out of that crowd. You know, I mean, it just.
But
you know.
The way they did it, though, it also makes sense because if they announce that match is going to happen, people get on social media and more people are liable to tune in if they know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So there's that argument, too.
Watch your first hour rating go through the roof in the first 5 minutes, though.
Yeah, I think that's kind of. Let's go to. I want to talk a little bit about Lucha Underground. Had their first episode of season 2, and holy shit, this show is great.
I was watching a little bit of that when I came in, and that was. That production quality is something else.
I always joked, and I said, if Robert Rodriguez ran a wrestling company, it'd be Lucha and Underground.
Yeah.
He's one of the executive producers.
Of course.
it opened up with Vampiro in an interview with a psychologist. Apparently, he's been in the psychology or has been under lock and guard and stuff since the end of season 1, where he had that badass match against Pentagon Jr. Pentagon Jr. is so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But he had a quick delusion of beating the shit out of the person he was interviewing, and it turns out it was all in his head, and he's going to stay away from the people that cause him to have these violent tendencies. Well, next thing you know, he's going back to the temple.
Right.
With Matt Stryker. They open the show. King Cuerno, the hunter, defeated, I believe it was Phoenix, who held the gift of the gods.
Mm-hmm.
And now King Cuerno. And forgive me if I'm getting these names wrong. I'm just now getting into Lucha Underground. Now he holds the Gift of the Gods title, and he can get a title shot whenever he wants against Mil Muertes. Have you seen this Mil Muertes guy?
Mm-mm.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, well, I'll show him that on a break.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a triple threat match in it. Ivelisse defeated Angelico and Son of Havoc. Have you seen any of these guys? Son of Havoc has this huge, like, Daniel Bryan beard, but he wears a mask.
Okay. And
he's really cool looking. And it's interesting how they set up this match, because at the beginning of the show, Katrina, who is now in charge, said they are going to be booked in a triple threat match, and the winner gets to face Mil Muertes for the Lucha Underground heavyweight title.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pissed off because they said, we just learned to start working together since you put us as a team last year. And now all of a sudden we have to fight each other? Come on. The surprise of the night.
That's a Mil Muertes.
Mil Muertes is a fucking monster.
Giganto.
Ooh. But Ivelisse mm-hmm. won the match, and it was a hellacious match. So she went on to face Mil Muertes in the main event for the heavyweight title and almost beat him.
Oh, wow.
And it was done tastefully.
I actually saw that. Like, they streamed that match on, like, Facebook, and I actually watched that match.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was a really good match. She hit some good roll-ups. You know, he was demonstrating a lot of power. But Mil Muertes goes over, and he starts to, you know, finish off Ivelisse, and mm-hmm. Prince Puma comes in, which I think, I could be wrong, and please don't kill me on the internet for this, I believe Prince Puma is Ricochet.
I think you're right there.
And yeah. Prince Puma comes in and helps get her out of the ring, and Puma cuts a promo on Muertes. While that's going on, Pentagon Jr. runs out to the ring, does a back cracker on Mil Muertes, and does the arm breaker. You know, have you seen that? How he does that?
Mm-mm.
He wraps an arm. He takes a guy, he wraps her arm and puts one on the mat, and then grabs the other wrist and then just falls backwards, and that supposedly breaks their arm.
Oh, wow.
And it gets over. It's over.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does, people are chanting, Cierro Miedo, or whatever that chant is. And Pentagon Jr. is just like the most over dude
mm-hmm.
in that company due to that match. Like the storytelling was season one and him. So that
is,
was.
Is that the Ivelisse? Wasn't that her name from Tough Enough?
I think
the
you're
one
right.
with the one on with Stone Cold.
I did hear something about
maybe. I'm still learning. Like I said, I'm still learning all of the Lucha Underground. And there's so many people that like I can't wait to see
mm-hmm.
wrestle. Like I got Johnny Mundo in my Wrestle Crate. I got a Johnny Mundo autograph.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to see him what he does in Lucha Underground. so many other guys I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see Prince Puma actually wrestle this guy named. Drago, who's supposed to be like a human Drago. George in the chat room says, yep, she was on Tough Enough.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Wasn't she the blonde on Tough Enough?
Yeah, she was blonde on there.
Huh. And that was the season, last season Stone Cold did?
Yeah.
The last actual good season of that show?
Because I actually liked her.
Yeah.
I think
she was injured on the show or something, and that's why she was let go.
Along with
I just can't remember
six or
much
seven
about
other people. Yeah.
I just can't remember.
When I saw her on there, and heard the name, I was like, you know, that's not a very common name. I mean, that kind of sticks out, and I was pretty sure that's who that was.
Yeah,
that,
I was rooting for her, and I think you're right. I think she had to drop out.
Yeah.
So that was Lucha Underground season two, and folks, if you get the El Rey Network, I think if you have like the Sling TV app, which is like $20 a month, you get the El Rey Network. I highly recommend this show. There are certain former professional wrestling managers that aren't a fan of Lucha Underground, if you know who I'm talking
Cornette
about.
Lost his shit.
Yeah, and you know, I see both sides of the argument. He comes from an old school.
Yeah.
Everything is hammer, lock, switch, knockdown, pop-up.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff like that. But I think that's a lot of problems with another big wrestling company like TNA.
Mm-hmm.
They try to be too much like the WWE, and you don't get viewers that way.
No.
You can't be the same show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Lucha Underground is a breath of fresh air. It's something different. They're not trying to be the WWE. They're not trying to be Ring of Honor. They're not trying to be New Japan. They're trying to be their own company. Same with ROH. ROH is a lot more solid ring work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just entertainment like the WWE.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor I've seen, you rarely see anything backstage.
Right.
I mean, everything
I love
is right
that.
There in
I
the ring.
I love that. That goes back to the old Memphis days where interviews were done right in front of the desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to watch Lance Russell walk all the way around the desk with the microphone yep. and put it in the guy's face.
Which, that's the way our studio is in NEW. You'll see when you go over to the wrestling school.
Good.
That's the way we built the school in NEW. We had a backstage interview thing, and we had a front. Out front thing too, so we right. had an interview. We do interviews in the back. We do interviews out front in the same capacity, really. And you know, it was great. You know, different. You know, different styles for
right.
different times.
And it's not
know.
Just straight up copying like the WWE, which TNA was doing in those years that Hogan and Bischoff came in.
Oh yeah.
Once those two came in, it was just we're going to be the WWE. Blah blah blah.
Yep.
There are some exciting things. Like, I still never watched it, but I was intrigued by the Aces and Eights idea.
Yeah.
That was cool, just because you didn't know who the members were, except for the one dude with long hair and the big eyes. You're like, well, we clearly know that's, I think that was Garrett Bischoff or something like that, yeah. or I don't know.
And I like the main event Mafia.
Who was in that?
It was like,
was that Sting?
Sting was
yeah,
in that
Sting,
one.
Sting, like Kurt Angle,
Steiner?
Nash, I think Steiner, Booker T.
And who was the stable they opposed? There was the Main Event Mafia, and then there was the Money, or no, not Money.
I do not remember now.
I don't remember. The Millionaires Club or something? No, that was something totally different. I know there was like two big stables in TNA for a while. It was Main Event Mafia, and I want to say Ric Flair
Kurt
had
Angle
one.
Was in there too, wasn't he?
Yeah, Kurt Angle was in there.
But I want to say Ric Flair was also involved.
They always came out in like suits and
anyway.
Yeah, Mick Foley was there at that time too. Yeah.
But yeah, I'd never have gotten into TNA just because, you know, before Hogan got there. Yeah, I think I actually may have watched one or two pay per views because I want to see guys like AJ Styles. Because back when he was even younger, he was just even more incredible.
When TNA first burst on the scene and had their own style of everything,
it was great. Yeah, I mean, I still didn't watch it, but I read a lot.
TNA made me a huge fan of Joe, one thing.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe. They made me a huge fan of Samoa Joe. Made me a huge fan of AJ Styles. And TNA also gave me the greatest match I've ever seen live at a pay-per-view when they had Slammiversary here down in DeSoto Civic Center.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Kurt Angle versus AJ Styles live. And let me tell you, I lost my shit several times during that match. And I was going absolutely nuts just because they were going hole for hole, move for move, back and forth with one another the whole time.
That's good.
And, you know, that was the way that match should have been done, and it was well done, well put together, you know, and got AJ over like $1 million.
There's one bright spot in TNA from the research I've done. That's Ethan Carter III.
Yeah.
I hear he's tearing it up over there.
He's amazing. I love that dude.
And he
was actually originally in NXT.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I bet you they're hating that for letting him go after seeing what he's doing now.
EC3 is amazing.
I like what I've seen out of Matt Hardy.
Wasn't he like
on Twitter
singing during that guy's entrance music the other night or something? It was like, go back, you need some entrance music. And then they come out and he plays some entrance music for him.
Since it switched to pop TV, I haven't been able to watch it.
Well, like he started singing or something during it, and it was hilarious because he was like, it's a guy.
And I also like what Matt Hardy is doing. I just see what he's become on Twitter, and he's playing out kayfabe on Twitter with people calling everyone marks and stuff like that. And apparently, like, they're coming out, Revy Sky's coming out with them, and formerly Brodus Clay comes out carrying his kid.
Yeah, he's Tyrus. Yeah,
and he's coming out carrying Matt Hardy's kid now. So,
freaking Revy and Awesome Kong got into it on the UK tour, and I think Awesome Kong got sent home before the UK tour even got started.
Really?
Because some sort of incident in the back between her and Rebby Sky, and I think Kong ended up like throwing her bag and dress gear out into the hallway or something.
Damn.
It's like from what I gathered, it was because that Rebby constantly wasn't dressing with the other girls, and they were all kind of offended with that.
Right.
You know, it was like all the female talent dresses in, you know, this area
in
here.
One locker room, yeah.
You know, and if you're not dressing with everybody else, you're not really showing kind of like a communal thing with respect to the business and everything,
right,
with respect to other people and everything. So it doesn't matter how much you get paid, you know.
Yeah.
You all dress in the same room, you know. So.
Let's see. I'm going back through the chat room here. George says, is there any chance Reigns isn't booed at the end of this pay-per-view? If it's done right, he may not.
Where is
booed.
This pay-per-view going to be?
Don't know.
That I don't remember.
George says, why not go to 2 hours with one for NXT? That'd be something different.
There's so much talent. They could definitely change formats and get a whole lot better ratings.
You know, I think
what they got.
I think another thing that I think women, you know, maybe they need a women's just a, like, remember how there was Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
They need something like that on the network. Just let all the women's wrestlers go in there and give them their own show.
I like Glow.
Yeah.
Glow was cool.
Let's see. Yes, NXT let Ivelisse go, and now she's arguably the second best female wrestler on the planet. She was on Tough Enough. She had a short run in Florida Championship Wrestling in the beginning of NXT, but got released after filing a complaint against Bill DeMott.
Mm. Yeah. So. Well, DeMott's gone.
Yeah. But now she's probably making some good money with Lucha Underground.
Yeah, probably.
So. And I think there's some rumors that Ricochet may have been talking to people.
Yeah, I
in the
saw
WWE,
that too.
Which that'd be a great signing for them. I'd love to see some of him do some of his stuff in NXT, especially with Shinsuke Nakamura coming in too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to the Irish Dragon.
Wait. Go. Listen, oh. I got one side note to mention on one of the local shows. NWA.
Oh,
Mid-South.
Yeah. I wanted congratulations to the Golden Boy Greg Anthony.
Yes.
He is now the NWA National Champion. That is a huge deal.
Yes. And their big group, the Empire, now have the NWA North American Heavyweight Championship, the NWA National Heavyweight Championship, and the NWA World Tag Team titles all in their possessions.
That's awesome.
So every member of the group has NWA gold.
That is fantastic. Fantastic. Congratulations to Golden Boy, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yep.
His in-ring character is an asshole, from what I hear, but that's a good
Actually,
thing.
Actually, he's a face right now.
I thought Empire was a heel.
Yes, they are, but he's a face right now.
Well, once again, Golden Boy, congratulations, man. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking to the Irish Dragon, Scott Fury. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Man, I got to tell you, that is a big difference from Corey Daniels' entrance music. We go from Johnny Cash to that, and wow.
All calm and solemn Johnny Cash, and now we got some Black Label Society.
It makes me want to punch someone in the face. Joining us on the show now is one of the guys that has gotten to beat me up in the ring once or twice when he was with New Breed up there in Jonesboro, Arkansas. He is the Irish Dragon, Scott Fury. Thanks for coming on the show, man.
It's no problem, bub. Great to be here.
Well, man, what got you into wrestling as a fan?
As a fan, I remember my dad. My dad, we used to watch Saturday Night's Main Event. Probably the first time I ever seen Macho Man. I know everything was pre-recorded back then, but the first time I ever seen Macho Man do a promo, I mean, from that moment until now, I'd forgotten to blink when it comes to reference to the business.
Cool. Go ahead.
He's always been an inspiration to me. And then when the Attitude Era hit, I mean, I was pretty much coming into adulthood when the Attitude Era was on fire. So that pretty much put me in gear to, I guess, light the proverbial fire under my rear end to get me into the ring and check on it and ask about it. And then I'm from North Little Rock, Arkansas, as Kid Crazy is too. Mm-hmm. We're the only two from our neighborhood to ever do anything with his business. But we were at an independent show, which was headlined by Tim Storm, who is with NWA now, I believe. But it had the Mad Chef, the Maverick Drew Jordan, Rude Dog Roddy Burkett, which is a mutual friend of mine, and Molly Cruz, and he helped train me. And I don't know, I saw it and I saw the aspects of it and I saw what it looked like in a lower populated crowd level, and I actually got to focus on the magic and the storytelling of, you know, what they're actually taught in training, you know, the way they used to be taught to train, how they applied that to their in-ring. How they applied it to their in-ring capability and everything.
Very cool. So how? What around? And, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. From that moment on, I was just I was hooked.
Well, around what year was it when you first started training?
When I first started training was early 2000, late 99, early 2000. I want to say early 2000.
All righty. Yeah. And I got to meet you at NEW in West Memphis, and I think maybe we wrestled once or twice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think I came over. Were you working Tuckerman about the same time I was too, I believe?
I couldn't hear you on that last part, but
I was just saying, were you working? I think you were working Tuckerman ASWF about the same time I was too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Yes, yes. You came over there, and I think you and Eric Wayne showed up over there. And
me and Eric and Kid Nichols and all them guys.
What was that last part?
Me and Eric and Kid Nichols and all them guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kid Nichols. I met him in Batesville working for MEW, and, which was under Crazy Luke Graham Jr., which is also a mentor and a father figure to me in this business, along with Ron Reyes. Ken Wayne brought in Matt Justice, Kid Nichols, Matt Justice, Eric Wayne, and they brought one more fellow. So I wanted to say it was you, but I didn't get to meet you until, I think you were the second class.
It was Kevin Charles, my tag team partner, I believe.
Yes, it was Kevin Charles. It was Kevin Charles.
Me and Kevin were a tag team starting out there, I believe, yeah.
Yep. So. And then you come on a little bit later, and I got to meet you, which, I mean, I was super impressed with you. You had a great head on your, you have a great head on your shoulders. You're polite. You show respect to people, even if you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, they might be, they might have been a little bit of something in that small town, and you didn't know who they were. You still showed respect just because it was, that's something you offer up when you're in a new territory.
Right. Yeah. And that's, that's just what I always, show people respect because I don't know who they are, and I'd 90% of the time when I first stepped into the ring, I hadn't seen anybody. I hadn't seen anybody work. I hadn't seen anybody, I hadn't met anybody. So, I always thought that, as long as I'm respected, respectable to other people, I always keep that in mind, because I may not even respect you as a wrestler, but I'm still going to respect you as a person, So, just a matter of honor, But, I think one of the most memorable things, and I have to bring this up because everybody talks about it still to this day, was you getting one of your teeth knocked out by Eric Wayne.
Oh, my God, yeah. That was a brutal, brutal night. It was brutal not because of pretty much the kick heard around Mid-South. I mean, I don't want to say the world. That's kind of been, But it was a flash knockout, and a lot of people seen the video. I think it's still up on YouTube. I've watched it several times. You can see where his foot makes contact.
Yeah.
And when his foot made contact, when he ran through the boot, when he pulled his foot off of me and he went to retract his leg back down to put it back down on the mat, the layover stitching of his patent leather wrestling boots, which, by the way, everybody could have on if they're in the ring, caught on to one of my lower canine teeth. And when it did that, that's what ripped. He knocked them loose when he kicked me. And when he pulled his foot down, the overlay stitching of his boot caught on to the lower canine, and it grabbed two teeth and pulled them out, and it just folded the other one frontward.
Yeah. It was just a bona fide
freak accident.
Mm-hmm. Which, unfortunately, a lot of those happened to Eric at the time. Eric was one of the Eric was one of the most unluckiest people there for about 6 or 8 months, because it seemed like every two or three months somebody was getting hurt in his match. And
he's a dream killer.
Yeah, that's that's the gimmick. Yeah, it was just unlucky. The thing with your tooth happened, and then I think 2 or 3 months later I debuted against him, and I went in real low and came up bloody on my ear, and which bled out like I don't know if anybody's ever had an ear injury before, but when you get cut on your ear, you might as well get cut in the neck. You're going to bleed out a little bit. And I did. I bled all over the freaking mat. And then
how random is that? Your ear. How random is that?
Yeah. Random. And again, it was his dang boots too. So
he already had the list of body parts maimed up, and I guess ear, when it come around time for you, ear was the only thing he had left that he had.
Yeah. But yeah, it was just freak accident, for Eric, and I felt really bad because he was just getting a bad rap for being a bad wrestler, when it really wasn't that really wasn't the deal, He worked solid, yeah, but it the stuff that was happening was just accidents. It really was, freak accidents.
And believe it or not, accidents will get you a bad name. But
yeah.
What what I mean, you become the unlucky underwear of the locker room when you start. You know, you start getting injuries on, you know, at your hands.
Right,
and,
right.
And you're coming out injury free, but every time you get out of the ring, somebody's hurt, and it's not you.
Right.
It's not that I never once thought Eric would ever shoot. I mean, Eric, because me and Eric, we've always been pretty cool with one another. It was just, I don't know. It was kind of a unlucky streak, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all, and it really, that's all it was. People were making it out to be something that it wasn't, you know. They were saying, oh, he's trying to kill people, he's trying to hurt people, whatever, you know. I've been in the ring with people trying to hurt me and kill me. That didn't turn out well for those people, but, you know.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
About that.
Oh, you heard about that, did you? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the first time I met you, Scott, my dad was doing stuff with Aaron Polston. In ASWF, and I think it was more based out of Jonesboro. But you were in a tag team, and I can't remember your tag team partner's name at the time. You are both in the New Breed stable. What was that guy's name?
Jeremy Blaze.
That's it.
We were Blaze and Fury.
That's right. Blaze and Fury. And how did you guys get teamed up?
Corny-ass shit. That's how it happened.
You see, some things have a legendary story to them. This is not one of those things.
Sorry.
Wait, go ahead.
He was a good-looking kid, which he is. Jeremy's a good-looking kid. We're actually friends. I haven't talked to him in a while because he don't do the Facebook thing, and I have no idea how to get a hold of him. He was just a good-looking kid. He had a lot of charisma, but in his mind, he was 5 years into the business, but his body and his actual awkwardness was probably about 3 months into the business. And his mom was his biggest supporter there, and she's great. Chris is great.
And are they from Memphis?
Yes. I want to say...
He went to Houston High School, I think, out here in Memphis, Tennessee. I want to say. I could be wrong.
Yes, he did. No. I believe you're right. Because what it was, Aaron Polston brought me in to be with Dirty Little Gang with, you know, Dirty Little Dave, and Austin Lane was there at the time, and Sexy Sam Dollar was there. Jimmy Valiant was coming in pretty regular. Who else was out there?
Loose Cannon was in New Breed too, as well, I think.
Yeah, Luke Cannon was there. He had the mullet. He was rocking the mullet. it was a great group of people. Some people got bigger heads than the other ones. Some people stayed humble. It ended up coming down to they had to separate the faction up, and me and Jeremy were the only ones left, and they pretty much put us together, and it kind of took off. We were, you know, family of pain. Done some stuff against Blonde Bombers. But it's just, we probably lasted for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then they split us up with no angle, no storyline, no heat or anything, no Marty Jannetty or Shawn Michaels or anything like that, which that's the way I wanted it. I just wanted it to be over with and be done. I mean, I was not a tag team wrestler. I did not want to be a tag. It's not that I don't play well with others. It's just that, you know, that wasn't where I'm at, you know, in my frame of mind. I was young in the business. I was fired up. I had a lot of shit to prove. And in my opinion, I feel like I proved a lot. I fell off a couple of years ago. I stopped wrestling, took some time off. I had to take care of, had a lot of personal issues going on in my life, a lot of life and career altering, just ignorant decisions that I made. Let me emphasize the word ignorant.
Uh-huh. Been there, done that.
That's just where you, that's where you learn your life lessons from. My dad always told me, you know, nobody's perfect. Life was meant for mistakes. That's how people learn. If it wasn't for mistakes, you wouldn't learn anything.
That's right.
And I pretty much, I mean, that's my main motto in life is get out there. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. if you see somebody make a mistake, if they don't want to take your, you know, at least you tried, you know, in your mind and in your conscience that you tried to show them a better way.
Mm-hmm. That's a great little, you know, mantra to have there too, you know.
So where did the
we're good, man. We like hearing stories on this show because that's what the main one of the when we started this podcast. One of my visions for it was we get to talk to more local wrestlers because we want to get our word out through them and their word out through us, and that's the best way to do it.
Awesome. I mean, it's like I said, I was telling Derek, you know, I've never done a podcast before. I've never done anything before as far as self-promotion and things like that. I was never a big fan of that. I mean, yeah, you know, a lot of guys, you know, gave me, you know, shit about being, oh, you're a weekend warrior, not this, not that. I have a real job. I mean, I have another job. I'm in construction, concrete, and everything. I'm a concrete finisher. I have a great life outside of wrestling, but I also have a great life inside of wrestling. And after I maintain, you know, after I took time off and got, you know, my life and priorities and all my ducks in a row, ultimately came back to wrestling because, I mean, that's what got me these things, got me propelled to the places I found myself to be able to obtain these things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was robbing myself. I felt like I was robbing my children because my children are, you know, they're stepchildren of wrestlers. They're grandchildren of wrestlers. They're, you know, their dad's a wrestler. Their stepdad's a wrestler. It's going to be in their blood and they're probably always going to be around it. So I felt like, you know, me, you know, I want my kids to root for me too, you know, don't get me wrong, but I want them to, you know, I want them to experience the things that I experienced. I want them to be a part of it, you know, that way, ultimately, I'm not alienating any part of my family, you know, to still, you know, be interactive in the wrestling community.
How did the Irish Dragon gimmick come about?
I'm Irish, and I like kicking people in the face.
And there you have it.
How long you been running the Irish Dragon?
Probably, I'd say at least 12 years.
Oh wow! So
yeah, I mean,
man, when I met you, how long have you been in the business then? Since then, at that time,
about a year. How did we meet?
Oh,
was it 07, 08?
No, man, I think it was earlier than that. Not. 2002, 2003, 2000, somewhere in there.
Is this Derek?
Yeah. Bud's
okay.
Son.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was sooner than that. You're talking about posting, your dad doing some work for posting.
Yeah, that's like 2002, I think.
Yeah, it was about 02. And I was wrong about my date when I got started. I got started late 98. I don't know what I was thinking about early 2000.
Well, you know, one of the things I'll always remember is you and Jeremy and, like, when I was doing this stuff with my dad, like behind when I was backstage, I was just, I think they could tell I was a nervous wreck. And Scott was one of those guys that really calmed me down and was like, dude, everything's going to be fine. Just listen to Cannon. Everything's going to be good. You're going to be all right. And, you know, me, I'm still sitting in the corner shaking in my boots because I'm just so afraid. But it was really cool of you and Jeremy just to say, you're cool, man. Just relax a little bit. Everything's going to be all right. So thank you for that. Thank you for being so professional and dealing with some little shit.
Man, this is the way I look at it. There's out of 20 guys in a locker room, which is pretty much basic any independent show nowadays, out of 20 guys in that locker room, five of them are genuinely nice. Five more of them are genuinely assholes, and the other 10 are just there. Mm-hmm.
That sounds about right.
you have to sit down, and body language is number one. When you walk into a locker room, as soon as you cross that threshold, that's when it's time to start evaluating who you are. I know it's not. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not politically correct to profile anyone, but when you walk into a locker room of wrestlers, you're automatically profiled because you're a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
So if I walk in and I see this guy over here dressed like trash, smells like shit because he didn't wash his gear, I'm automatically going to look at him as shit until he proves to me otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That's not me being a dick about it. That's not me being an asshole. That's just me saying, this guy's probably, you know, he's probably trash. But then I always over, you know, and then if he speaks to me and he approaches me with respect, that starts knocking that, you know, that stereotype off of him.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, presenting yourself and the way you carry yourself is the way people perceive you. That is the oldest form of conversation in the book is body language.
Mm-hmm.
Or tone or just expression. I mean, emotion or anything like that. If you walk up to somebody, see they're having a problem, and you stick your hand out and you offer it, and they take it, and 100% success comes from that interaction. Interaction.
I was hoping we could go past that point, but
but yeah, you were on a roll there for a second, man.
Good.
What is an interaction? I know what an erection is, and what is an interaction? Is that like
like innie and outies?
I want to say we all had interactions when AJ Styles came out for the Royal Rumble this
year.
Yeah,
that was probably something like that. Yeah.
How often do you get to watch other promotions? I know you work a lot, but how often do you get to watch the product?
It all depends on who offers what video normally in my newsfeed. I see a lot of NWA Texas promotional stuff coming up with I see that Rodney has pretty much signed on with them.
Mm-hmm.
With Jack Dane and all them. I love their product. I mean, I'm so over. All they need is somebody with money and vision to take what they already have and just blow it plumb through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And make stars of who they have, not bring in stars from failed companies. I mean, why would you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
That always killed me. That always killed me. Why would you spend 6 months building up somebody to make a star out of them, and on that seventh month bring in Jake the, you know, Jake the maintenance man Roberts to come in and pretty much just bury him, and then he'll never recover from that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I call him Jake the maintenance man Roberts because I got to work him one time in Paragould, and when he walked to the ring, I did not see Jake the Snake Roberts. This motherfucker was dressed like a maintenance man.
Wow.
Yeah, that he had a rough time of it there for a while.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doubting his hustle or his you know his struggle. We call him Jake the Snake Roberts or Jake the Maintenance Man Roberts because that's what he looked like that night. And there were some other things that went on, which is pretty career, defamating, which I'm not going to be a part of that.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to.
But I always like to tell people like, we don't want to do shoot interviews. I just like to hear. I like to talk to the rest. I like to hear their stories. You know, of where they've been. I think that's.
Oh, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Great guy. Just, I don't want to be a part of anything embarrassing or anything on anybody else.
We're good with that.
Well, do you watch as far as WWE? Do you still watch Raw? Do you still watch SmackDown? Do you watch NXT?
I watch anything that has to do with wrestling because I am a fan first and foremost.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What kills me is to see people get on. Now, don't get me wrong. I do criticize sometimes. I don't know if some of your listeners or whatever. Well, or my friends on Facebook or anything. But I will post something. And, yeah, I'll post negative remarks on it. Not negatively like, ooh, I'm better than this guy, so I'm going to dog him.
Right.
I post negative for comic reasons only. If you laughed at it before you browbeat me, you know, for saying it, well, then my job is complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made you smile before you got offended, you know. Why are you getting offended, you know, for a guy you don't even know? I mean.
Right.
It's just my opinion. You don't know John Cena. His shoes were ugly. Did you help him pick them out?
Yeah.
I see some of the you do make me laugh at some of the stuff you put on Facebook, but I get some good chuckles out of it. You know, and it's I like it because WWE is, I think this past year wasn't its best year for the WWE, and I would tell people that, but I was still a fan, and you know, and when they did great stuff, I was commenting on that too.
They had one of the worst years of injuries also.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries are prevalent all over the place right now, but it's just, you know,
running wild.
I know. And it's just, you know, when they've done good things, I think I've been more than fair about it too. Mm-hmm. TLC, I thought was a great pay-per-view. It exceeded expectations.
Oh, my God. Dude. Kalisto, that dude is, I'm so over on Kalisto right now.
Yeah,
great wrestler. I thought the Royal Rumble from start to finish was one of the best pay-per-views they have done in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately, I didn't get to see it, but I watched everybody's, because, I mean, everybody's a play-by-play commentator on Facebook.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. Us keyboard warriors, man.
And that's another thing. If you know, they have their opinion, you know, and it's usually these guys that'll put up an opinion, and it'll be sour towards somebody else.
Right.
Yep.
And the next day, they'll get on there and post in the same breath, pretty much. How can you be so critical about so-and-so? They made it, so-and-so. So? I mean, okay, they made it. So what? Big deal. Mm-hmm. Just because they made it don't mean we don't have an opinion. You had an opinion yesterday. Yep. What, it don't matter now?
Are there any other companies you watch other than the WWE and, like, regional promotions? Like, how much New Japan or Lucha Underground or any – do you get a chance to watch any of that stuff?
I don't get a chance to watch Lucha Underground. I have not got the El Rey Network on my package, DirecTV, or being douches about it. They had it and they took it off.
$136.90 to get El Rey Network on DirecTV. that kills me.
Robert Rodriguez has good movies and everything, but – I mean, it's not the network. If I'm going to pay that much money, I'm going to get the network. I do not have the network because I feel the network will ruin me. If I had the network.
He'd never leave home.
You know, I can tell you, like, when I first got the WWE Network, man, I did not. I lost a lot of sleep that first week or two because I was like, I had to watch Bash at the Beach 1996 and see Hogan turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to watch the Iron Man match between HBK and Shawn Michaels. I had to go through and I had to watch all these matches. So I'm finding the pay-per-views.
I just want to see Shockmaster fall down going through the wall again.
I can see Booker T. I had to see Booker T at Spring Stampede cut a promo on Hulk Hogan that I can't say on the air right now.
That's phenomenal.
It is so overwhelming the amount of content you get on the network. But, yeah, if you don't
I know what I hear they're fixing to add a bunch more. Where are they adding from? Is it AAW, old AWA?
I think
they've already got some AWA on there.
They've
some GWF, USWA.
No, they don't have USWA yet.
Yeah, they do.
Oh God.
They don't have a lot of it. They've only got like 4 episodes each of each one. So, because I've been browsing through some stuff, but the stuff that I browsed through, it was like old matches of when Shawn Michaels was first getting into business and stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, it was like stuff like that. They're putting it on the network for that purpose only. You know,
I tell you what, if old Memphis USWA stuff is in there, I'm not going to sleep tonight. Thanks, Dan. That's your
there
fault.
You will eventually because there's only like 4 episodes of it.
It's not a lot on there.
All right, I won't get a lot of sleep then. I'll say it like that. Thanks, Dan. But yeah, man, it can be overwhelming because they also got like there's Mid-South on it.
Mm-hmm.
AWA, WCCW, I think's on there. All WWF.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of content.
There's a ton of stuff on there. There really is. You know, there's a lot of original programming. There's, you know, and of course, any and all
the
pay per views and stuff.
Are they still doing the Legends House?
No, they only did that one season.
Well, they're probably recording another one.
They might be. Yeah.
That was probably my favorite. I hang out with friends that have it. And I'll come over like, are you watching Network? I'm like, yeah, put it on Legends House. I'm going to check that out. And I sit there and binge watch every episode, dude.
Hey, man, Rowdy Piper was...
2 o'clock in the morning.
They've got a new show coming up with Edge and Christian now.
Yeah, that's good. You know, another...
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one, too.
I lost a lot of sleep one night because I started going back and watching like the very old Tough Enoughs, like season 1, season 2. Oh.
I'm still in season 3 right now.
Oh,
I'm going back watching them.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it's good television. It was good television. Didn't turn out many good wrestlers, but
yeah.
I didn't think it turned out anybody. I mean,
oh, you got.
Let me say Maven.
Maven.
You got Maven.
And
Nydia. Nydia showed up.
And season 3, you got Morrison, who is going big in Lucha Underground right now as Johnny Mundo. So he's made better career out of it than.
Technically, wasn't he? Wait a minute. Yeah, he was. Okay, never mind. He was Tough Enough. He was Johnny Nitro when he came.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got my people confused.
Million Miz too came out of that.
Yeah, he was a runner up against Daniel Pewter.
Daniel Pewter.
Wow. Well,
he had a great career.
Believe it or not, I actually got to meet Daniel Pewter at a show we did in Iowa with Tyler Black.
Mm-hmm.
And Crazy Little Graham Jr. was on the show with me. That's who I wrestled. And let me tell you, Daniel Pewter is a arrogant, cocky, little bitty. I mean, I was not impressed by him at all.
Okay.
I think you and a bunch of people were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you said where all have you traveled to? You just said you've been in Iowa. How far have you gotten in the country or in the world? Or?
Pretty much just in country.
Okay. How far?
Just staying in states. Anywhere from Iowa. I went to Alabama, Utah, Oklahoma. Let me see. Missouri, Mississippi, all over Arkansas, Louisiana. Just pretty much anybody that would take a booking and give me one.
That's cool. That's cool. Who are some of the more fun guys you've gotten to meet, or you know that our listeners may know?
Probably the best time that I ever had was getting drunk and playing Guitar Hero like all night long with Jerry Lynn.
Oh, nice!
How good is he at Guitar Hero?
How good am I?
How good are you both?
I'm pretty good. I mean, all songs I play are on expert.
Nice.
But, Jerry Lynn was kind of slacking a little bit, but you can ask Austin Light about that because it was at his house. Oh, so
I will. I'll next time I talk to Austin. He's doing good.
Ask him about that. That was probably the most memorable, you know, actual outside of the, you know, locker room, outside of, you know, away from everything and everybody else, was probably hanging out with Jerry Lynn that night. I mean, I got to see a cool, cool person,
mm-hmm.
and he deserved so much more than what he got in this business. I mean,
mm-hmm.
He deserved to be pushed all the way through the roof.
I got, you know, watching his stuff in EC. I loved watching Lynn in ECW, man. Him and Rob Van Dam would tear the house down with some of their matches, man. Just their transitions going from a northern suplex to a swinging DDT back to a northern suplex. And just
it was awesome.
It's incredible stuff. Well, Scott, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can folks find you on social media?
You can find me on Facebook under Scott Fury.
Cool. And you got any shows coming up next or that you want to plug?
This Saturday we're going to be – it's a TWE. We're going to be in Mississippi. I'm not sure which town. I don't know if you guys have seen any advertisements for that.
No, I haven't.
I don't have any dates written down.
Is that the other South Haven show maybe that you were talking about? That TWE? Because I think that's where TWE mostly stays, kind of in South Haven.
Maybe.
Yeah, they usually run around the South Haven, Mississippi area. this is going to be my second show for them, but I've been pretty much given the green light that I'm a full-time roster employee with them. So
cool.
I'm going to push everything I can for that company. That's going to be my home company.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Nice.
If y'all want to see some of the best shows that independent has, that the independent talent has to offer in South Haven, Mississippi area, Memphis area, come check out a TWE show. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. That's the parents of Paris Kelly and Cody Daniels is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a really talented and awesome group of people.
We'll definitely have to check out a show.
Yes, sir.
It would definitely be worth your time. Trust me.
Great. Well, Scott, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really do appreciate it. Hope you've had a good time.
Man, I've had a blast with you guys remembering all these old stories and everything.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
If I wasn't sitting here talking about wrestling, I'd be sitting here watching Saturday Night Live reruns like I'm doing right now.
All right, folks.
All right, well, stick around for a second, Scott. We're gonna get you to do something for us for a minute, and
we'll be right back. Welcome back, and man, I gotta say that was an incredible interview with
Scott
Fury.
He's one of the very few genuine guys.
Yeah,
that are left in the business, you know, and I've met a lot of fake people being in a wrestling locker room, and Scott's not one of them.
Right.
He's one of the most genuine guys I've ever met.
I'm not joking at all when I told you him and Jeremy were calming me down for a match. Like, literally, they could just tell by the way my head was, you know, I was just like, and I had that look in my eyes, and they're like, relax, man. It's, you know, I'm not trying to tell it to be funny. I'm just telling it like, just relax.
Yeah.
Take a deep breath. Calm down.
Yeah.
Loose cannon's not going to hurt
you. Get out there in front of we do it, and it's almost like a nonchalant thing. You know?
Right.
We don't think about other people getting in front of other people and having problems. You
right.
Because
right.
we do it so often, you know. And people always ask me, do I have the itch to do it still? And I'd have the itch to do it, but I also realize, like, how much I hurt the next morning after doing it. Because, like, and it's not even, like, all the bumps you take, you know? It's the anxiety going, all right, I hope this all goes well.
Well,
and then going through the match, and then the release of, oh, thank God, that went well.
It was funny when I did that stuff with ASWF. I came out after the show, and there was a girl that I went to high school with. I'm like, why the hell are you in Jonesboro, Arkansas, at a little National Guard armory here? Yep. And she was like, yeah, I guess she was dating Jeremy Blaze or something like that. I'm like, small freaking world.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, Scott, for coming on the show. We'd love to have you again, man. That was just some you got a great – I like the insight into the locker room, you know.
Yeah.
And he just seemed like a very genuine dude. And
yeah.
Fun interview back and forth, and I still owe him an ass whooping for some of the ones him and New Breed gave me. I've gotten Austin Lane back, but I'm kidding. Well, Dan has got our Memphis wrestling moment for this week.
All right, let's see here. I've got,
thanks to Mark James.
Yep. I've got February 4th, 1980, main event tag team match, the Assassins versus Billy Robinson and Ken Lucas. Southern heavyweight title match, Handsome Jimmy Valiant champion versus Rick Gibson.
Which, pause, Handsome Jimmy Valiant is now on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And
really?
He is, it's so cool. Like, he's interacted with me. Said he'd come on the show sometime, so I'm going to try to get that booked.
Sweet.
Because I'd love to sit and get to pick the brain.
What's his Twitter name?
I knew you were going
to
ask
I had
that.
To ask that. You said it. You should have been prepared.
I know. Well, I didn't. Let's see. I think it's like the real.
The Jimmy real K. Jimmy Valiant or something?
Real Jimmy Valiant or something like that. Jimmy. It's at the Jimmy Valiant. V-A-L-I-A-N-T. At the Jimmy Valiant. And he really interacts with people. He gets great thoughts on the wrestling business and what he watches, and he's the freaking boogie woogie man.
Yep.
Come on, Mercy Daddy, baby. Give him a follow on Twitter, baby.
And he says Mercy Daddy every
Mercy Daddy and brother.
Five
he loves brother.
On Twitter.
He loves.
And if we ever get him on the show, you're gonna have to do that impression of him.
He's. I think I'm setting myself up to fail there. Go
I think
on,
you
Dan.
Are.
Go on, Dan.
All right, Handsome Jimmy Valiant champion versus Rick Gibson. Sugar Bear Harris versus Bill Superstar Dundee. Sonny King and the Iranian Assassin versus Steve Regal and Rick Morton. And Robert Gibson versus Paul Ellering. And go down to the bottom here, Jimmy Valiant. Oh, there's
what?
A misprint here.
All of a sudden, there's 19 listeners in our chat room.
Jimmy Valiant
really?
Lost to Rick.
Hello, everyone.
Rick Gibson in an AWA Southern Heavyweight title match. Last night's Mid-South Coliseum wrestling card. But Valiant retained his title because the decision came as a disqualification. In other individual matches, Bill Dundee beat Sugar Bear Harris. And Robert Gibson beat Paul Ellering by disqualification. And tag team matches, Steve Regal and Rick Morton beat Iranian Assassin and Sonny King. And the Assassins beat Ken Lucas and Billy Robinson. All right. And I did not – unfortunately, there's no attendance record on that one.
But back in that day, it was probably 6,000-7,000.
But the week before – they did 5,287.
It's incredible.
And the week before that, I don't see a number there. 4,961.
Wow. So probably around 5,000.
They were probably averaging between 4,000 and 6,000 people a week at the Coliseum.
In the money days, well, in the money days, they were averaging 6,500 people a week. That's crazy.
None. It's nuts. I mean, you know, and I mean, that was
what's the biggest?
That was at the time when Memphis wrestlers pretty much were rock stars,
right?
Oh yeah.
You know? Well, and how? What's the biggest crowd you probably ever wrestled in front of, Dan?
I wrestled. I'm gonna have to think about that one.
It wasn't. It wasn't 5,000. Was it?
No. 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 The most I've probably wrestled for was. I can think back. To when TCW came to Memphis, and I think we had almost 600 people in the building.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
We had about 600 people in the building. I want to say before that, I did wrestle at a rodeo at a fair that there was probably close to 1,000 people at.
Okay. Cool.
So.
All right. Well, as we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
Superstar of the week.
Would we even do that if you didn't have that effect? No. Hey, if we ever get a new mixer and you can't do
no,
that.
No, any mixer I get, I will test. And if it does not have this effect, I'm not going to get it. Mike, give me your superstar of the week.
I get one with more effects than that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Del Tucker.
Oh, I love it.
Del Tucker.
Because, yeah, like I said, when it comes to saying stuff to get heat, he could have a bucket of fuck, and he wouldn't give a single one of them. All right? He does not care, and I love that about him.
That's the first time I've heard that expression, and that is the most awesome expression I've ever heard.
Dan?
Oh, God. Come back to me. I'm still reeling from the expression. I'm still reeling from the bucket of fuck.
I'll have to listen to that one. For my superstar of the week, I'm going to go Golden Boy Greg Anthony for winning the NWA National Championship.
Yes, that's awesome.
Hell of an achievement for a guy that's, you know, been gracious enough to come on our show a couple of times and talk to us, and he still has the best beard in the game, if you ask me to.
Oh, yeah. Big old gold stripe right down the middle.
That's impressive. It's quite an impressive goatee. Beard.
Since I didn't have AJ last week, I'm going to put him as my superstar of the year this week. AJ
superstar
Styles.
Of the week.
Yes. You know, because, I mean, he's pretty much hit the ground running.
Yep.
In WWE. He hit his Styles Clash last SmackDown on Curtis Axel.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. He hit a Styles Clash on Curtis Axel last SmackDown, you know, and he's going strong, man, you know. I think, you know, he had some jitters there or some missteps or whatever, and I think those butterflies are leaving him, and he's getting comfortable where he is.
Yeah, I think just the small adjustment he had to make was just moving to that bigger ring.
Yeah.
The only adjustment he had to make. I think he got a little blown up.
And, you know, you'd be surprised how much of a difference it makes. Because I've wrestled in a 13 by 13 ring where I basically took one step and hit the other side of the ring,
right.
You know. And I've wrestled in a 20 by 20 ring, and I love a 20 by 20 ring, which is what every WWE ring is.
Yeah.
So a 20 by 20 ring, I love it. Because I can land pretty much anywhere in that ring and be fine. It's awesome, you know, and you have so much room to work, you know. The 20 by 20s are awesome. So, but no, AJ's my superstar. Okay.
George
of the week.
Go ahead.
Superstar of the week.
George in his chat rooms.
Superstar of the week.
Are R-Truth and Gold Dust, which that's a good choice. That's a good choice.
I like it. I like it.
Well, folks, that is it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, which is the easiest way to get to this podcast. Also, head over to Amazon.com. Oversellpodcast.com and use the Amazon link right underneath the main player. And while you're shopping on Amazon, you can listen to every episode we have on that main player at oversellpodcast.com. But shop at that Amazon link. There's no extra fees. There's no hidden fees or anything like that. It's just you helping this small podcast out by giving a couple of bucks by buying stuff you're already going to buy on Amazon anyway. Also, be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast and Facebook.com/Oversell Podcast. And you can follow me on Facebook. I am at Schropnuts, S-C-H-R-O-E-P-N-U-T-S.
I am at One Dangerous Dan, all spelled out. And I'm on Facebook, Dangerous Dan Matthews.
At WolfMike23.
Folks, thank you for listening. This is the Oversell Podcast. Oh.